On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Sweet Tuesday morning, came a new smile.
Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut, she Tuesday.
Sun comes up, it's Tuesday morning.
Goodbye, Ruby Tuesday. Who could hang a name on you?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Where are my socks?
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I can't find my socks anywhere. Where are my socks?
It's the Where Are My Socks show. I can't find my socks. When I start a show complaining about not being able to find my socks, you know it's going to be a great show. Welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. This is the Ron Van Dam Show. Thank you for being here on a lovely Tuesday, the day after Monday, I call it. Hey, guess what? It's almost summer. We're like a day away from it or something like that I thought it was summer because it was hot out for a while, but apparently, no, that's not summer. No. Apparently, on the 20th or 21st or something like that of June, it is the longest day of the year. Okay, that sucks, because I want to go to sleep, but yet it's light outside. What's that about? I don't like this Earth rotating thing, you know. You know, sometimes it's a long day, and sometimes it's a short day, sometimes it's a sucky day. When is the suckiest day of the year? Which one is that? What date is that? It's still light out at 8:45 at night. What are you kidding me? Where do I live, Alaska? What the hell is this? I don't know how long the day is in Alaska, to be honest with you. It's always 24 hours. It's is the longest day of the year like 37 hours? Is that how that works? I don't understand. Anyway, thank you for being here. Welcome to the program. The purpose of this program is nothing. I look at things that go on. I look at things that go on around us that make no sense. So yesterday, I'm flipping through the channels because there's nothing on TV at all. There's a writer's strike, so there's no new shows anyway, but it's not the fall season. It's almost summer. That's the those are television repeats. Hey, did you like that show? Yeah, it was all right. You want to watch it again? No, I already saw it. By the way, these people that buy movies and then watch them 20 times, what's the matter with you? Did you totally forget what's going to happen? Doesn't that take like a lot out of the movie? Well, Ron, no, sometimes I watch these movies that I buy, and I see things in the movies that I didn't see before. What, did you go to the bathroom? What didn't you see? How can you not see that? I don't understand those people. Are you one of them? I don't understand you. Why would you want to watch a... They used to have The Wizard of Oz on the Turner TBS or something, sometimes on a network, every single year. Every single year they would show The Wizard of Oz. And did they think that nobody in this country would have said, oh, I saw that already? No, don't. No, I want to see it again. I want to see it. I want to see it again. I don't understand why. Why do you want to see it again? Did you miss something in it? Did you turn your head suddenly and that ruined it for you? Did you forget what happened, that there was a tornado? Oh, that's right. There was a tornado. I thought Dorothy's, I thought she was in the woods and she got lost. That was a tornado, you asshole. That was the whole beginning of the thing. And the lion wanted to find a brain? No, that was a scarecrow. Oh my God, maybe you should watch it again. Pay attention this time. I don't know. You know, that was The Wizard of Oz was one of the first movies to introduce artificial intelligence. Yeah, the Wizard of Oz was a man behind a curtain manipulating all these lights and this Holocaust kind of thing. It was like amazing. For its time, it was like way ahead of its time. No reason I have to see it 50 times, though. God, I loved that movie, Ron. I loved it. Oh, my God, please, please stop it. Stop it. Anyway, so I'm flipping through the channels because there's nothing on yesterday, and I reach ESPN2. You know, ESPN1 was pretty much enough. Let's stop right there. No, we got to have another one. So they have ESPN2. And guess what was going on ESPN2? Go on, guess. I'll sit here and wait. No. Nope, wasn't that. No. Good guess, but no. No, I'll tell you, because you'll never guess. It was a pickleball tournament.
Seriously?
Yes, pickleball. All right, look. So I actually watched it because I didn't understand ever what pickleball was. I've heard about it. I heard that it's a thing now. And I'm watching the pickleball, and I couldn't have been more bored in my life. It's tennis and ping pong smashed into one. It's a small tennis court with paddles, like in ping pong, big paddles. Not really big, but big. And people hit the ball over the net like in tennis. That's pickleball. It moves a little faster than tennis because the court is smaller. So there's a lot more back and forth like in ping pong, where things move very, very quickly. And that's pickleball. And as I was watching it, my reaction was, and so what? Is it fun to play pickleball? Probably. But why am I watching pickleball on television all of a sudden? And what the hell is a pickleball? I haven't Googled this because I don't Google on my time off. Also, Googling is for people that just admit I know nothing whatsoever. So I don't Google. I mean, sometimes I do when I'm panicking about something. Like, what's this rash on my leg? Oh my God, what's this rash on my leg? I'll Google that. Or if there's some kind of a little bite on my arm or something. Oh, my God, is it Lyme disease? Oh, my God. I'll Google that. I'm not going to Google pickleball. I mean, it's embarrassing. If there's any kind of a record of what I Google, you know, I don't want it to be pickleball. Let it be porno or something, but not pickleball. Oh, my God, that's embarrassing. Oh, Ron, you're Googling porno? All right, baby. You Googled pickleball? What are you? What are you, stupid? I do neither, by the way. I don't know where the term pickleball came from. There are no pickles involved. The ball is not shaped like a pickle. There's no other reason you would call it pickleball if the ball wasn't shaped like a pickle. It's not. It's like it's a tennis ball kind of thing. It ain't a pickle. There is nothing in pickleball that resembles a pickle. So why? Why would you do this? If it's a combination of ping pong and tennis, then call it ping pong-ness or tennis-ping. Something like that, a combination of the two words. Ping tennis pong. Pickleball, what the fuck? It's embarrassing to say that you play it. It's something I do really well. What is it? Pickleball. Excuse me? Sounds like you're describing your inflated testicles or something. What pickleballs? Hey, Ron, you idiot. You have pickleballs. No, I don't. Yes, you do. You have balls that have those little pickle markings on, those little pock marks. Something wrong with your testicles, Ron. Pickleballs. Other than that, I can't figure out the meaning. Maybe some guy who invented the combination ping pong and tennis had some problems down there. You know what I'm saying? Maybe his nickname was Pickleballs. Hey, Pickleballs, what are you doing? I came up with a new game. You did, Pickleballs. What do you want to call it? I guess Pickleball. There's no other explanation. So now it's going to become a professional sport. It'll probably be in the Olympics. Pickleball. What's the matter, doctor? You look like you have to tell me something. We don't know how to tell you this, Joe. We took the test. We did the x-rays and the examination. You have pickleballs.
No. No, don't say that out loud.
You do.
Is there any cure for pickleballs?
No. There is not even an explanation of them.
I have pickleballs.
It's terrible. Okay, I think I've made my point. I have an interesting guest coming up today. I hope you'll enjoy it. I wouldn't mind playing pickleball, to be honest with you. I just am too embarrassed to play it. It's just not right. You know what I love? I love people to play tennis and golf. Those sports require costumes. You can't just play it. You have to dress like it. In golf, you have to wear pastel colored pants. I don't know why, but you do. Or checkered pants. You have to wear pants that you would not wear anywhere else. Banana colored pants.
What?
Yes, you must wear them to play golf. You must look like you dress incredibly poorly and have no sense of fashion, and you must be colorblind. That's the only way you can play golf. And there must be an alligator on your shirt. I don't know why. That's the only way you can play golf. Hey, put on these golf clothes or get the f*** out of here.
Tennis is the same thing.
Gotta wear shorts. Can't wear jeans. It's gotta be white. You can't have lobster. Can't eat lobster while you're wearing your tennis clothes. Tennis clothes and golf clothes are basically the same Only in tennis clothes, they have to be shorts and everything has to be white. I don't understand it either. There are costumes you have to wear for some sports. You do. You just do. Baseball uniforms. They are pajamas. They are different colored pajamas. That's all they are. Who's kidding whom? They're pajamas without the slippers. Pajamas and sneakers. I mean, seriously, no kidding. That's what the baseball uniforms are. Football uniforms, you got to wear a big freaking number on your back and on your front. You need to have a number on it. I don't know why. Sometimes your name can be in small letters above the big numbers, but you got to have big numbers to play football. Yeah, there are costumes for these things. I don't think there's a costume for pickleball, but watch out. There could be someday. Whatever you wear when you play ping pong or tennis might have to be your new pickleball outfit. How about bowling? Bowling shirts. Who came up with that? If you're going to bowl, you have to look like a moron. What is it with that? Can we have like tasteful uniforms for something? Why do they have to be so embarrassingly ridiculous? Bowling shirts. Nobody wears that shit anymore. What are you doing? You know, I'm a professional bowler. I have my own ball and I have my own shoes. You have your own shoes? Yes, I bought them. I bought my own shoes and my own ball. You are professional. Oh. I know. All right, we're going to take a commercial break, and when we come back, I'm going to be joined by my guest. And you don't want to miss that, because that'll be incredibly beautiful. But first, this.
Do you know that there is one item that can not only increase your home's beauty, but its value? That would be placemats. Hello, I'm George Karanapikopoulos, owner of George K's Wholesale Placemat Warehouse, your one-stop for all your placemat needs. We have a placemat for every room of your house. That's right, placemats are not just for the dining room anymore. Anywhere you might make a spill, or maybe where you eat, like in front of the TV, I do it all the time like you. You want a placemat. We have fancy placemats, like in bamboo or teak. That's right, teak. Nice plastic laminate ones for no stains, even blue. We can custom make you placemats in as little as 2 weeks. Come to our showroom at the intersection of Route 27 and the Holbrook Turnpike. You're going to like what you see. Your placemat is waiting for you at George K's Wholesale Placemat Warehouse.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. Dr. Michael Croupain joins us now. And we've got what to eat when. Those are some questions that I've been asking since I was born, pretty much. That's a difficult one. You understand, I understand, you love to cook. You're like a chef.
Well, cooking is one of my passions, yeah. So I'm a physician, but I've always loved to cook in medical school before I used to, you know, work in some restaurants for fun.
If cooking is your passion, you are a chef. That's the way I look at it. All right. Yeah, it's the new year and all that stuff and the resolutions and all that, but that makes no difference to me. Every day is a kind of an internal struggle for many people, especially those over a certain age where you just gain weight every year just for the hell of it and you can do absolutely nothing differently and you're still going to gain. So we're all concerned about that, and then we're concerned about our health. We're living longer, and we want to make sure that those years are healthy ones and not painful ones. So we're always looking for a plan of action on how to eat well, what choices to make.
Yeah, so we wrote this book to help people, like everyone who you're talking about.
Yeah.
And we most people focus on what they eat, but we thought it was important to start thinking about when we eat.
Interesting.
So not just what, but also the when. And it all has to do with our circadian rhythm, and that's sort of our body's internal clock. And the job of this, your circadian rhythm, is to get your body to do the right thing at the right time. Then we actually have to do that. But what our body does is it expects us to do certain things at certain times. So we all kind of know our circadian rhythm is important for sleep. You know, like if we, or if we travel to another time zone, we get jet lagged because we're throwing off our body's clock. Well, it turns out our circadian rhythm regulates just about everything, and including our metabolism. So our metabolism actually changes throughout the day. So it actually expects us to eat early in the day. So when the sun is shining, our circadian rhythm is set by the sun.
Right.
And if you think back to, you know, ancient times, we had the sun and we didn't have electricity or anything, so we kind of had to live by it.
Right.
So we evolved that way so that our body expects us to eat more early and less later. So that's what we, that's sort of the big picture. What we recommend is you eat with the sun and you make breakfast and lunch your largest meals and dinner your smallest. So we say basically Americans have to flip their day upside down because we, most of us eat most of our calories at night.
True. That's very true. And is that because we have no chance to burn them? In other words, if you eat and then you shortly after go to sleep, then there's not that much burning going on? Is that the theory?
Well, you're still burning calories at night. You're burning a little bit less. You know, there's a recent study that showed that people, our basic metabolic rate, so what are sort of without any activity, how many calories we burn, it's about 10% less at night. So, it's different, but it's not like it disappears at night.
All right.
But throughout the day, our metabolism does change. So there's an amazing study that was done here in the U.S. where they had people on a diet, and they had them on a low-calorie diet.
Yes.
It was about 1,400 calories.
Yes.
So, and they divided people into two groups. So both groups got lunch of 500 calories, but the one group got a 700-calorie breakfast and a 200-calorie dinner, and the other group got the opposite, a 200-calorie breakfast and a 700-calorie dinner.
Okay.
And they found, even though both groups ate the exact same calories, but they ate them at different times, the group that ate the big breakfast lost a lot more weight than the group that ate the big dinner. So that's because, again, our metabolism is changing. And in the morning, it's more interested in burning carbohydrates, and at night, it's more interested in burning fat. And because fat is sort of the storage form, like a long-term storage form of energy, and so since we're supposed to be not eating at night... that's what you would want to burn. You'd want to burn that fat.
Right.
But when you start eating at night, you kind of throw a wrench in this whole system, and you start storing fat instead of burning it.
All right. But what about our hunger here? Because sometimes I'm not hungry at all, and I figure, well, I won't eat if I'm not hungry. But I'm not eating when I'm supposed to eat because I'm not burning anything. But then when I do eat, I eat voraciously, and then it's like my body's saying, I can't burn all this stuff.
Yeah, that's a great question. So that's what I was really concerned when we started got really into the research of this and seeing that this is the way people should eat. Mike Royce, my co-author, and I were both concerned about this. We thought, well, people are going to be hungry. And I personally have always, until now, I spent my life eating dinner as my biggest meal. In fact, I started off training to be a neurosurgeon, and that lifestyle and training led me to kind of eat all my meals at night. So I only ate once a day, really, because I didn't have time to eat the rest of the day.
Good for you.
So I would come home and I'd be starving and I would eat a lot.
Yeah.
And I was never that hungry in the morning.
Right.
And that worked for me for a long time. But like you said, like most people, I was starting to gain a little weight.
Yeah.
And then I tried this. I switched my day. I flipped it upside down. Now I eat breakfast and lunch, and I either don't eat dinner or it's a very small meal because my appetite actually changed. And,
really?
And the literature actually suggests this is what happens. When you start eating your larger meals early, you aren't as hungry at night. So it's one of the most surprising things, I think, for people, is this actually changes your appetite.
What about water? I'm always told to drink 25 gallons of water and to spend all day peeing, which is pretty much what happens, that it cuts down on my appetite if I drink water. But then now I'm finding I'm peeing all the time and I'm bloated. So I don't understand.
Well, 25 gallons might be a little much.
Well, all right. I think I was exaggerating.
But, I mean, water is important. You know, it's important that we stay hydrated. And sometimes we do, if we're not drinking enough, we do, it sort of does affect our hunger. So that's actually one of the things that I actually personally do. If I'm starting to feel a little bit hungry, sometimes I'll have a glass of water and I won't be hungry anymore. So I think it's important. I mean, you don't obviously want to spend all day in the bathroom,
right,
but But it's good. It's good for your kidneys too to be using the bathroom.
So continue to do that. All right, and the big question everybody probably asks you is: okay, I feel a little bit peckish. It's nighttime. I'm not going to be moving around much. What can I eat? What can I not eat? Should I stop myself from eating? Say it's like 8 o'clock at night. You go to bed at 9, and you just want something.
Yeah. So I think eating at night is basically the worst time to eat.
Yeah.
But if you absolutely have to, I would say try drinking some water first.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if you're doing this the way we're suggesting, you're probably not going to be that hungry.
Okay.
Or you can think about if maybe you want to stop eating, you know, a good 3 to 4 hours or more before you go to
bed.
That's
a lot.
So, you know, but if you're starting loading your calories early, then you won't be that hungry. But if you absolutely are, if you're famished and you have to eat something, then, you know, you got to do what you got to do. I would recommend, some crunchy vegetables, or we like roasted chickpeas, something that has a lot of fiber and a lot of crunch. So it's satisfying and filling. And then, and then you'll.
Yeah.
What I like to say is with this, because your circadian rhythm is set by the sun, every day you have a chance to start again and get better. So if you eat at night and it's not the end of the world, just try again the next day.
Yeah. Because, see, people, I think, tend to get fat in the winter because they're not moving around as much, and yet it gets dark early, especially, you know, with in the East. So it's kind of a conundrum. And, I don't know if you're a psychologist or not. It may play into this, but very quickly, some people eat just to occupy themselves, especially when they're watching television, no matter what time of day it is. They can't idly just sit there.
Yeah, no, I think, you've raised a lot of good points. So in the winter, it is we aren't moving around as much, and also the sun is setting earlier, so our metabolism is probably is changing, right? We're more into a storing mode in the winter. Yeah. So it's better to eat even earlier in the winter, again, eating with the sun.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things about the psychology of eating the way we're recommending, by making your meals earlier, is you have to actually think about it a little bit. So we say to eat your dinner for breakfast, so I'll make dinner, and if I'm really hungry, I'll eat a little bit, and I'll save the rest for the next day.
I get it.
Especially, like, I love pasta. We're not anti-carbohydrates or anything, so I like to make pasta at night, and then I'll eat it the next day for breakfast or for lunch.
Nice.
And there's an extra benefit to that, because when pasta or potatoes, starchy things, cool, some of that starch, which is sugar, it turns into something called resistant starch, which is more like a fiber than like a sugar, so it actually is better for you.
All right.
So a little hack there.
That's
when you're doing this, when you have to think about this a little bit more than you might be used to, you start planning a little bit, and then you realize, you know, then you maybe don't eat when you're not supposed to, because you've actually put a little bit of thought into it.
Well, I could talk to you for hours, because there's a lot here, but this is a book I definitely want to read. It's What to Eat When. Makes all the sense in the world, and it could actually change your whole life and your lifestyle. So, Dr. Krupin, thank you so much for your time today. Is there a website?
Yeah,
is there a website we can visit very quickly?
Yeah, our website is whenway.com.
Great. Thank you, doctor.
All right, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. All right. That'll do it for me today. Thank you to my guests, and thank you to you, all my pickleball friends. I'll be back again tomorrow for the longest day of the year, but until then, I wish you peace. We'll be right back.